If you can find a way to up-level your attraction patterns, you are then going to up-level your entire future in love. And that means up-leveling your entire future. In this episode, I'm going to teach you how. So stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, and your host. And today, we're going to talk about how you can up-level your romantic attractions, which means up-leveling the people you meet and connect with, which means up-leveling your entire romantic future, which God knows means up-leveling the entire quality of your future life. And we're going to talk about two ways to do that, that not only lead you to healthy love so much more quickly, but heal your life in the process. And in this episode and every episode of this podcast, I'm going to share with you the greatest tools and insights that I know to help you find healthy, beautiful love in your life and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process, because the skills of dating are the skills of intimacy. And oh, those are the greatest skills of all for a meaningful life. And if you want to know more about this approach to finding love, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and join my mailing list. You'll get wonderful free resources. You'll hear about the work that I'm doing, the courses that I offer, the free classes that I offer, and you'll also get a wonderful free ebook with the five great keys that I've discovered and written about to help you find real healthy love. Okay, let's jump in. So we're going to talk about two ways that you can up-level your entire attraction patterns. And one is pretty deep and pretty profound, and the other is equally profound, but much more operational. Let's start with the first one, though. The first one is this kind of cosmic truth that the way that you are organized psychologically, the way that you live, the way that you act, the values that you have, the way that you choose to be inside yourself and hold yourself in the world, and the ways you see yourself profoundly determine who you're attracted to. This is true in so many levels. And what this comes down to is that as you do the work of honoring yourself more, loving yourself more, accepting yourself more, you're up-leveling your own growth journey. And at the same time, you're up-leveling the people you are going to be attracted to. Like I always say, you're going to become much more allergic to attractions of deprivation, which is what I call them. And you're going to become more appreciative, develop a deeper, richer, sexier taste for attractions of inspiration. And that changes the way that we're organized. So let me say a little bit more about what I mean about that. This is the concept of core gifts, which is the central key concept in all of the work that I teach and the model that I teach. Your core gifts are the treasure hiding in plain sight. They are the parts of you that are the most essentially you, but they're often scary because they're really innocent at their core. They are powerful. They're innocent, so we can get shamed for them and have them stepped on and taken advantage of. And because of these tender, tender parts of us being so tender, so precious, and so innocent, they get traumatized. And in trauma, they retreat and we develop an entire defensive pattern to not let the world see those things where we have been so hurt, so humiliated, so shamed in the past. But those parts are our treasures. They're our soul. They're the essence of who we are. So we have a dilemma here because now we are leading with our defenses around that part of us instead of with the beauty of that part of us. There are ways that you might be kind of have been too fierce for the world, too truth-telling, too aware, too hungry for growth, too hungry for closeness and intimacy, not too hungry, but too hungry for the people around you, because your core gifts are profound. They are your personal signature genius, and we all have them, and they're all both beautiful and troublesome, like having a genius kid, because those parts of ourselves, the parts where we're too tender for the world, too fierce for the world, and I don't mean the whole world, but I mean like growing up and before we develop discrimination, because we must learn to find the people who treasure those parts of ourselves. But we'll get to that later. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a 6-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. This is the formula, the degree to which we feel shame around those parts. And all of us are trained to feel shame around those parts. There is a task of reclaiming and de-shaming that all of us have, as human beings, have to do. And it's really precious and it's a big deal. In the work that I teach, one of the ways to do that is to put names on your core gifts and to be able to understand both the pain and suffering that they've caused you, the challenges that they've given you, but to see them as treasures and to actually find the treasures in them. So I'm just going to give you an example of that. Let's say somebody who maybe feels that there's something wrong with them because they crave love so much. They need love so much. They need and they want attention and really being seen and listened to in really intense ways. And if they don't get it, it's upsetting to them. And they feel like, oh my God, I am quote unquote too needy. This becomes a point of shame. In the work that I do, I help people realize something really interesting. It's not just that they need this, it's that they value it. Hence, they want to have it given. They want to give it as well. They want to see a world where this happens. Now, this is different than narcissism, where somebody just wants, and doesn't want to give back and has no need to give back. But most people who are doing their growth work, who have been ashamed of their sense of need, need shamed turns into neediness. Need honored turns into a way of living where we give and receive bigger quantities of love. Usually, people who have a deep need for those experiences of love, being touched, being seen, being appreciated, being listened to, have a profound capacity for intimacy. Their container for giving and receiving is bigger than a lot of other people's. If they don't honor that, they will lead stilted lives. When they honor it and they embrace it, that's the only time that they're going to start looking for people who can also honor that and match them. Because if they're ashamed of it, they're going to choose people who can't and try to change themselves and change the other person. The path to pain. That's what happens when we can't honor our core gifts. Qualities of sensitivity, qualities of generosity. These are just some qualities of truth telling. These are some examples of where the world has taught us that these are things to be ashamed of. Qualities of quietness, of tenderness, of boldness, of enthusiasm. All of these different qualities that we feel are like too much or too little for the world. We will be walking around hobbled until we find the beauty of these parts, because they're who we are. They're part of the language of our mission, of who we're meant to be in the world. So in my book, in my course, in my intensives, we spend a great deal of time helping people name these qualities. But you can begin to know those qualities simply by asking yourself and noticing what hurts your heart and what fills your heart in your day-to-day life, and then thinking, what might be the gift here? But it's a complex process, and usually it needs mirroring from other people to be able to know this. When you identify and know and champion and dignify your core gifts, oh, your world changes. You stop living in a way where you're organized around shame and fear around those qualities, and you become organized around enthusiasm, honoring, appreciation, and expression of those parts of you. When you do this, you cannot help but lose interest in people that don't honor those parts of you. You can't help it. It's a process, but you ultimately have to get there. And you find yourself gradually more attracted to people who appreciate those parts of you. So what it comes down to is, if you are psychologically organized around protecting these parts, it will be much harder to find healthy love. When you can name them, claim them, and become organized around treasuring, loving, and expressing them and using them as a portal to your greatest self and the potential you have in this life, you're going to start being more attracted to people that love those parts of you. What happens then is it's like you have a spine, and that spine is your self-honoring. You're honoring these parts of yourself that are the most essentially you, even if they're iconoclastic, even if they're different, even if they're too whatever or not enough, whatever, you have learned the beauty of them. Like an artist who has to learn the value of what it is that they ache to create, even though there may not feel like there's a place for it in the world. That's what an artist needs to do. And each one of us are artists of our mission. And at the core of that artistry lie your precious core gifts. So a creature that has a spine has an endoskeleton. That means that they can have a soft belly. They can have a soft front. They can allow the world to touch them, and they can be flexible. Creatures that do not have a spine have to have an armor, an exoskeleton. So the more you treasure these parts of yourself, the more flexible you become, the more you can show your vulnerability, and the more you have backbone. Okay, so that is part one of this process. And that is a very deep and very amazing one. And the formula is this: the degree to which you treasure and honor those parts of you, to that degree, you're going to be sexually and romantically attracted to people who are good for you. To that degree, you will have up-leveled your attraction patterns, which simply means that you have up-leveled your future in this life. So it's really worth doing. Okay. Part two is knowing the difference between your attractions of deprivation and your attractions of inspiration. I talk about that a lot in all of my writing, my book, my intensive, my everything, and in the podcast. You can find lots of stuff about attractions of inspiration and deprivation. Just Google it or look at my podcast or read my book or take my online course. But The essential difference is an attraction of deprivation is one that is sexy because you almost get the brass ring, but you don't. The brass rings, safety, commitment, goodness, integrity, love. Those are like the brass rings in love. And attractions of deprivation are people who, for whatever the reason, can't really give that to you. But they almost can. So it's just so endless to try to get them to get it right. These are attractions of deprivation. And unless the person's deeply willing to do work, they're attractions that are going to lead to pain. An attraction of inspiration is where you're turned on by the other person's, you want to be physically attracted to them too, of course, but you're turned on to their goodness, to the way that they have curated a life for themselves, to the way that they treat other people, to their creativity, to their imagination, to the way that they've curated their mind, their heart, and their spirit, as well as their bodies. These are attractions of inspiration, and they are a different animal. All of us have both circuitries coexisting in us. And we get to choose, but the world doesn't teach us that we have these two circuitries. So to us, especially when we're younger, like attractions of deprivation, just, yeah, they feel like love. I'm in love. So what else? And this is almost working. Maybe I can get it to work. It makes a lot of sense, but it really doesn't, because we are not trained to up-level our attractions, to cultivate wisdom in our attractions. We cannot force our sexual and romantic attractions, but we can educate them. And anyone who wants to create beautiful, healthy love in their lives needs to learn how to educate their attractions. So when you make a commitment, I teach a path to this in all of my work. But once you have made that commitment to say no to attractions of deprivation, no matter how sexy and pretty and seductive they are, no more. I'm planting a flag. And you make a commitment to only choose attractions of inspiration and to seek them out and to suss them out and to develop your nervous system capacity to tell the difference, which is mostly honoring what you know already. When you do that, so much shifts. And I want to give you an example from what I call the deeper physics of dating. And it's this. And so in my online course and in my intensive, there's a process where people, they create a pledge, and it's a pledge that they actually sign. And they say, I will not pursue attractions of deprivation, and I will passionately and enthusiastically pursue and nurture attractions of inspiration. I make this commitment. When they plant that flag, when you plant that flag and make that commitment, and there's an episode of the podcast where I teach you how to do that and I give you the pledge. When you make that commitment to stop pursuing attractions of deprivation, like an absolute commitment, I don't do those anymore. You create a vacuum, essentially, where something with a lot of energy once was. You have created a vacuum now, an empty space that needs to be filled. So there is a suction that doesn't have anywhere to go. When you also make the commitment and you plant the flag of like, yeah, it's scary. Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, it matters. I am going to pursue my attractions of inspiration in the wisest, smartest, most experimental, bravest ways that I can. I'm going to do that. When you say that, you now are creating an open door. You've shut one door. There's a suction. There's a vacuum. And all of a sudden, you open another door. So energetically, that like kind of is this energetic invitation for those relationships to come into your life. This is the deeper physics of dating. It doesn't happen immediately. Usually, people become allergic to attractions of deprivation And then there's a weird kind of period where underground, your new capacities are growing. And then all of a sudden they start blooming. So that is this kind of deeper physics. You create a vacuum and you create an invitation. And then your world begins to change. And what happens is you start getting more allergic to attractions of deprivation. You start noticing, appreciating, and getting turned on to attractions of inspiration. You are actually educating your attractions. That does a few things. One, it helps you find that beautiful kind of love that is filled with goodness and sexiness and commitment. And that's where you want to build your life and your home in the world. That's one thing it does. The other thing that it does is because you're using the medium of love, self-love in this case, to find love, romantic love in this case. So the other thing that happens is your deep insides know that you are doing something so loving for them. They feel it. And they begin to calm down because they are finally being protected and treasured. So there's a deeper sense of security, and your secure attachment style builds as well. So these are the ways in which, by up-leveling your internal sense of organization, moving it toward self-treasuring, and then in very conscious ways, you don't just do that. You do the conscious work around the attractions that I've described as step two. You got to do both of those. But when you do that, healing happens in your life and in your romantic life. And that's magic. How would you not want both those healings? Those are like the greatest things in the world. So thanks for listening. I hope this is helpful. Go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and join my mailing list so I get to share more of this material with you. And thanks so much.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.